This episode of the Dead TV Podcast is sponsored by Wicked Chronic in Natick, Massachusetts. Go on down to Wicked Chronic on Route 9 in Natick, Massachusetts to check out their wide selection of unique items boutique-style retail store that focuses on selling counterculture products, combining Wiccan and cannabis cultures together in one of the most unique and interesting ways possible. Wicked Chronic is on 185 Worcester Street in Natick, Massachusetts, and they can be reached by Beverly at wickedchronic.com or wickedchronic.vendcommerce.com. Check them out. Tell them Dr. Chris sent you. Welcome to the Dead TV Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
And tonight on the Dead TV Podcast, it is the final episode of our coverage of Constantine, whereas we ended his show a couple weeks ago with the final episode of his show. We're doing a special tribute episode, which is actually linked to his appearance on the TV series Arrow, as Constantine is part of the Arrowverse, which airs on the CW Monday through Friday, apparently, because there's a CW Arrowverse show every day of the week. We have Supergirl, Arrow, The Flash, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, and now coming soon, Black Lightning. And DC's Legends of Tomorrow is heavily connected to the episode that we are going to be talking about tonight with Mr. Zeneca's description.
All right. Today's episode, Season 4, Episode 5, originally aired November 4th, 2015. Haunted. Oliver calls in a favor from an old friend, John Constantine, when Sarah takes a turn for the worse.
Dun, dun, very dun. Ominous. Yeah, very ominous. I like the episode title too, Haunted, even though there's not really any ghosts in the episode, but it's fitting considering that John makes his appearance in the rest of the Arrowverse in this episode.
Yeah, and this was the only episode that he was actually contracted for, the actor, so the only episode that he actually appears in, but yet the effect of the magic from this episode also carries into Season 4, Episode 15, you know, when the effect of the sigils that he puts on Arrow is, you know, protects him, you know. But,
yes.
Little callback in Episode 15, but really, Constantine is in Episode 5, and that's all we're going to see him.
Correct. Mr. Zeneca, as you said, you are not a watcher of Arrow regularly, correct?
No. I do not watch Arrow. I've heard good things, but this was just me watching one episode out of a whole huge plot line of stuff that Arrow has done. And so, needless to say, it was a little bit jarring.
All right. To get you caught up very, very, very quickly, because we are 4 seasons, I'm not going to go through every season. Playboy Oliver Queen, womanizing, drinking, probably do drugs, but they never just say about it. Playboy Oliver Queen is washed up on a tropical island where it's basically a living hell for the next 5 years. I'm not going to get into what happens on the island. We'll get into a little bit about that in this episode. And he's rescued. He comes back to Star City with a notebook from his father that he has to change his city for the better. And he uses all the skills on the island to become the Arrow. Now I point that out. He becomes the Arrow. In season 3, skipping ahead, he encounters Ra's al Ghul, who you might know as, of course, being in most of the Batman lore. He was on the Batman animated series, he was in Batman Begins, of course, and Oliver is betrayed by Ra's al Ghul. They never really had like a big connection. Ra's al Ghul exposes Oliver's identity to everybody. However, his partner, Red Arrow, Speedy Roy Harper, takes it on to himself that he is actually the Arrow. And the reason why is because Sarah Lance is killed by Oliver's sister. This triggers Captain Lance, who is like a frenemy of the Green Arrow. He eventually becomes a full-time ally to go on a manhunt for Oliver Queen. Because he also finds, obviously he finds out the truth about Oliver Queen that he's been lied to this whole time. In the end, Oliver Queen has to betray all his friends and become the new Ra's al Ghul, which he then succeeds to Ra's al Ghul's daughter, who happens to be Sarah's girlfriend, as Sarah is a most of the time lesbian, but she does seem to go bisexual for Oliver Queen, as the two do bang in season two. Catching us up, Sarah is killed by Oliver's sister at the behest of Malcolm Merlyn, played by the great John Barryman, by the way, from Torchwood. She's in the ground, she is dead, by the way, wearing the costume that she's seen running around in this episode. Oliver, Felicity part with the rest of their group, and he leaves the vigilante life behind. However, he finds out that he has to come back to Star City, and he can't be the Arrow anymore. He decides to become the Green Arrow. That's where basically we're caught up to now. Now he's also running for mayor of Star City, which is a whole plot line we're not going to bother getting into. And we have where we are at the beginning of this episode with Sarah running around completely crazy because his sister and Dinah Lance, a.k.a. the Black Canary, took it upon themselves to dump her in the Lazarus Pit, which is the magical, mystical, mumbo-jumbo water pit that Ra's al Ghul goes into every couple hundred years to rejuvenate himself to bring her back to life. However, she's brought back from a basically the corpse to the equivalent of The Walking Dead. Unlike Red Arrow, his sister, Thea, who was brought back with just a stab wound. Sarah's brought back from basically a corpse.
So the Lazarus Pit, it has these miraculous healing powers, but yet, if you put a dead body into it, the soul is still stays trapped, but the body continues on. Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, basically. something like that.
All right.
So we're
now, like an Arrow soap opera here.
It is a basically long. It is a soap opera because we have four. There's four seasons leading up to the one episode we're covering. Now the show for the last five seasons, and they haven't revealed yet what they're doing in the upcoming season six. But every season they keep flashing back to a year on the island or someplace else that Oliver Queen was in order to hone his skills to become the vigilante we know him to be. This island has been the host to many great DC villains I'm not going to get into, but the biggest one being Slade Wilson, a.k.a. Deathstroke the Terminator, the Teen Titans villain. And on this island, he meets John Constantine for the first time.
Yeah, and what a meeting. He's actually in handcuffs when he meets him for the first time. And they end up, Oliver leads Constantine after a move to escape the handcuffs and kind of pulls the gun out of the, I think it's Ryder's hands, and Oliver takes him to this place on the map that he knows of.
Yeah.
And then this is Oliver's first experience with actually witnessing true magic. Because Constantine casts a spell. And in this episode, I do have to say that a great many of the things that actually are shown in this episode are repeats or are taken directly from Constantine episodes. So a lot of the spells are actually ripped from other episodes, so they don't actually do anything original. not much original, I have to say.
Yeah, this is basically Oliver and John's romantic getaway on the island. They're kind of beginning of their ridiculous bromance. all the while, by the way, up to the end of this episode, when he actually asks to call John Constantine for help, he doesn't know Sarah's been resurrected by the Lazarus Pits.
Yeah, and she's just going around killing people that kind of look like the sister? Is it the sister or the...
Yes,
sister?
Thea Queen is Oliver's sister.
Thea.
She is the she is Oliver's half sister and the daughter of the Malcolm Merlyn, the current acting Ra's al Ghul. Ra's al Ghul is actually a title, by the way. It's not necessarily just the name of the one guy that was like played by Liam Neeson in Batman Begins.
The spell that actually he says to reveal the place for the portal that gets into the underground where they find the artifact is actually Dikuyan si Agas Akasha Siel Midu Solas, and that's actually a translation that it's one of the words I couldn't translate, but the majority of it says, "And Akasha, show me your light," which is in Scottish and Gaelic. So that was actually taken from a previous Constantine episode. I recognized it, but I don't have my notes because right now I'm in Dragon Con. So I am noteless from previous Constantine episodes, but yes, it is something that has been on a previous episode.
Now, to take a side note from our brief discussion in this episode, anything interesting at Dragon Con that you would like to talk about in connection to our podcast?
Well, they did have a Friday the 13th panel that was talking about the Friday the 13th franchise, more like the game, really.
Yeah.
And when I brought up the Friday the 13th, the series, they kind of looked at me like, what?
Oh, my God.
They didn't have any input on the Friday the 13th, the series. Like, it's almost, they don't recognize that it exists within the sphere of Friday the 13th.
Never mind the fact that there's a huge crossover between the two, besides the fact that people who produce the Friday the 13th movies produce the Friday the 13th TV series. John D. LeMay, the star of the fucking show for the first two seasons, the main male lead, excuse me, is basically Jason's, like, in-law in Jason Goes to Hell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, back to Arrow. By the way, was there anybody dressed up as John Constantine or the Green Arrow at Dragon Con?
A couple people dressed as the Green Arrow.
Okay.
I did not see a single person dressed as Constantine, which was actually very disappointing for me.
Oh, that's...
I was looking forward to taking some pictures and posting them on our Facebook page of me with John Constantine. I have three costumes that I've done so far, all from Fox television shows. Day one, I was Lois Griffin. Day two, I was Miss Swan from Mad TV.
Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out who the fuck you were.
Yeah, Miss Swan.
Okay.
He looked like a man. And then today, which is day three of Dragon Con, I went as Louise Belcher from Bob's Burgers.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. You looked fantastic in that Lois Griffin costume.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It was me and Rick all day.
So this is basically Oliver's first experience with magic. Now, for the rest of the season, he has to deal with a big problem with magic, being the main villain, Damian Dark, who becomes part of the Legion of Doom, best known as, you know, the characters from the Super Friends that the Super Friends would always fight. Sarah basically needs to have her soul put back into her body, and Oliver calls John as the only person that can help restore Sarah's soul.
And he has no idea what is really going on with Sarah, other than she's completely out of her mind. She's talking in Arabic, and on this murderous rampage.
I do love John's line as soon as he shows up. If I knew you were surrounded by so many pretty girls, I would have stopped by sooner, Oliver.
Oh, so cheeky, so cheeky.
Yes, I mean, there's Felicity, his girlfriend. There's Dinah Lance, a.k.a. the Black Canary, his ex-girlfriend, who, by the way, little drama. Oliver was dating Dinah when him and his father crashed, their ship crashed. He snuck Sarah aboard his father's yacht and was cheating on Dinah with Sarah when he crash-landed on the island 5 years ago.
The drama that they were referring to in the episode.
Yes, Sarah was sucked out of a manhole and presumably died. However, she eventually washed up on board the island as well and then died again. Sarah's died, by the way, a few times. She died the first time aboard the ship. The only two survivors left were Oliver, his father, and like one of the crew member. His father kills the crew member and then kills himself so Oliver can have the rest of the food aboard the life raft.
Wow.
He also then gives Oliver a notebook saying that I am involved, me and your mother are involved in so much goddamn corruption, it's unbelievable, Oliver, and only you can fix it. So Oliver spends the next 5 years on the island dealing with all his father's sins and then comes back and realizing he has to fix the city him and his mother have destroyed.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is definitely a show I'm going to have to watch from the beginning, right?
Yes. I really highly recommend getting into Arrow. Sarah then is rostered up aboard the island, and Oliver and Sarah end up having to work for Dr. Ivo. Dr. Ivo in the DC Universe is best known for creating the Amazo Android, an android that has the ability to mimic all the powers of the Justice League, including Superman. Sarah then is supposedly killed again and washes up aboard the shores of Nana Parbat. She's body gets flown around a lot. While she's in Nana Parbat, Ra's al Ghul wants to kill her, but Ra's al Ghul, his daughter, has an interest in Sarah in the most sexual nature possible and begins training her in the League of Assassins and becomes her lesbian lover.
Hot.
Sarah then returns. Sarah then returns as the Black Canary, and she has a kind of like a protege daughter chick. There's a scientist that was working for Dr. Ivo that she ended up like befriending, and then he gives her like a piece of paper and the picture of her daughter, saying, "Please take care of my daughter if you ever find her." And so when she gets back to Star City, you find out she's been like taking care of this daughter the whole time by like funneling money to her. This daughter, by the way, I don't remember the name of the actress's name, but she currently plays Pidge on Voltron, and she's the lesbian horror chick on Scream, the TV series.
Cool.
Yeah, so really connected right there in the geekiness. But let's get back to the episode, because I just went off on a tangent on the multiple characters of the show, which I said I wasn't going to do. John sends Oliver and Dinah to Limbo.
Yes, and in Limbo, they see in the Lazarus Pit the soul of her sister struggling there with all these hands holding her back inside the water. And they start to go into battle with the mysterious forces, the entities that are there. The final spell that actually, you know, dispels I don't know exactly how to describe these people. They look like assassins, but the final spell to make the assassins' control over the soul disperse is actually translated by the judge of the living and the dead, by that who has the power to cast into hell, leave this kingdom immediately. And so that is actually a spell from episode 1 of Constantine, and it's the spell used to banish Furcifer back to hell.
All I can imagine is, have you ever seen the movie The Ninth Gate?
Yes.
Okay, I remember, there's this great scene where, like, all of the naked cult leaders of Satan are doing their spell casting, and Franklin Geller burst in going, "Mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo, mumbo jumbo."
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't particularly care for that movie as an overall thing, but I think that was just the Johnny Depp part.
Definitely. That was, you know, that movie's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about it just because it's also directed by Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Anyway, trying to stay on target to the Death Star. So
the soul is brought back.
Yeah, when Sarah's
they
by the way in that
from Limbo.
When Sarah's inside that kind of a hot tub, basically,
mm-hmm.
You can really tell that it's a bottomless floor, or she's on a platform below it, standing up, and they're just extras pulling at her.
Oh, yeah. You look like guys with, like, monster hand gloves.
Yeah.
Over her shoulders.
And then
struggling there a little.
How about when John's walking through the streets of London, the back lot of the CW?
Oh, that is the back lot?
Yeah. That was done, like, right around... That's done on basically a back lot set that's always got, like, lampposts and stuff. Very quick thing done.
Yeah, well, when you gotta shoot it, you gotta shoot it, and you already have the set ready.
Yeah. What does Thea say to Oliver when John finally leaves, giving him his warning about Damian Dark?
I don't have the exact quote. Do you have that?
He's a special kind of yummy, and Oliver's like, "I'm gonna pretend I did not just hear that."
Oh yeah.
This is his younger sister. And the first thing she says to him about John Constantine, he's a special kind of yummy.
And he is.
So that was our yum moment of the episode, by the way.
Definitely.
The douchebag moment of the episode,
I can't really say because I don't know these characters.
No,
I don't know if it's actually douchebaggy or not.
I would actually, you know, I was really, really hoping because they brought in Damian Dark, who is a very magic-based villain in the DC universe, that John would come back for the epic showdown season finale, where Damian Dark's got all his goons, and Oliver, as the Green Arrow, leads the people of Star City, by the way, the good people of Star City, the cops, the firefighters, the military, the civilians against Damian Dark, because Damian Dark's powers work on fear and hatred and anger. And what more do you need to fight against that than a symbol of hope, which for Star City is, of course, the Green Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
So Oliver basically has everyone rally behind him, kind of like a Dark Knight Rises kind of fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have Bane and the terrorist, and you have Batman and the cops.
Okay.
Very similar kind of ending to that. But I was kind of hoping John Constantine would have come back to help out Oliver Queen, but again, probably not.
Yeah, and he was uncontracted for one episode. So.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because everyone was speculating that he could possibly return with his show being renewed, and the CW put a kibosh on that, saying, unfortunately, that's not going to happen, but we are doing the CW animated movie, which is going to be done in the same vein as the next thing we will be talking about, which is Justice League Dark, the animated movie.
Yes, and I really enjoyed this movie. Justice League Dark was highly entertaining, and you get a real taste and real flavor for Constantine right in the beginning, and I loved it, loved it, loved it. He plays poker with goddamn demons and it pulls the trick over them. I mean, you really have to see it to grasp the wonder that is John Constantine's con artistry. But basically, they're playing poker. He's kind of losing. He has a pair in his hands. The demons are changing the cards at will in order to get better results. He bets the House of Mystery as the money in the pot,
mm-hmm.
because he put in all of his chips and then they put in all theirs and outranked them, and so he put in the House of Mystery and all its artifacts. So then they had to bring up the most valuable items that they had, which included I think it was like a Dreamstone, something like that. And when it was time to call, John Constantine's spell basically removed the jinx that they put on their cards in order to make them good cards, and they had nothing in their hand. So his pair of twos actually beat their hand of, like, nothing, because they were using magic to change their cards into a straight flush. And so, I mean, all at once he gets these objects, the Dreamstone, and I mean, that's just pure Constantine. I'm like, ah, mwah, yes, love it. You know, and then a fight ensues, of course, because they're pissed off, you know.
What did you think of the overall movie as a whole, with the exception of, like, the only problem I have with this movie comes in the form of the packaging for the DVD or Blu-ray or the poster art or whatever it is, with Batman leading the Justice League Dark.
Oh, Batman was a supporting role. He barely had anything to do with this.
Yeah, but man, they had to put Batman at the front of that cover. Like, he is charging in a battle with the Justice League Dark behind him, instead of it being Zatanna or John Constantine, who are primarily the main character leaders.
Oh, yeah. I mean, since the whole plot line really revolves at its core with Richie Simpson, his, you know, friend or ex-friend or whatever you call it, from Newcastle.
Richie, of course, being the character from the TV series played by the actor from Lost.
And also in the comic series.
Yeah.
And so they're taking this character that's very closely related to John, and he ends up being kind of like the big bad guy, with also bringing in Faust, Felix Faust, into the mix as kind of the bad guy that they think is actually the one in charge when they, you know, finally find out it's Richie. But so the entire thing is revolving around Constantine and Zatanna, and Zatanna's relationship with Constantine and her help and aid in solving this problem and finding out what's going on and why people are seeing demons where, you know, none exist and killing people. And so Batman, the only things he had to do in the entire fucking episode was to use his physical objects to help the situation in some small way. You know, the grappling hook gun, what's a pen of epinephrine or he used some sort of medical device. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure which drug he used, but he used his physical properties, his batarangs, and everyone else was using the magic. So Batman had really nothing to do with this.
Now, a couple of the characters I want to go over really quick and who they're played by. The other main magic character, Zatanna, is voiced by Camilla Luddington, who's best known as the voice of Lara Croft in the two Lara Croft reboot games that have been out recently. And nice. Enrico Colantoni is the actor who plays Felix Faust, the villain, and he has a long, extensive list of various projects in television, video games, and movies and stuff. He's kind of a bit part actor guy who's had that type of career since 1987.
Nice.
Yeah. Jason O'Mara, plays Bruce Wayne Batman. He's best known to the Marvel Universe as the last season's acting head of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV series. He took over from Jeffrey Mace. He took over from Agent Coulson when the Pentagon wanted to put a fresh face on S.H.I.E.L.D. to reboot S.H.I.E.L.D. after what happened with Hydra and the events of the whole Hydra plotline. But he's been actually playing Bruce Wayne and Batman for several animated features.
Okay. All right. I thought his voice sounded familiar.
And for horror fans, as we try to stick to a horror theme most of the time, a lot of people might also know him as the voice of Albert Wesker, the villain of the Resident Evil video games from Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6.
Nice. we have not mentioned the last cohort of their team, Boston Brand.
Yes. And one other who we will actually, there is one other character of the Justice League Dark, which we will segue into talking about our next coverage here on the Dead TV podcast.
Mm-hmm. Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing, yes. Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing makes an appearance.
Yes, played by Roger Cross, who I don't know very much about, but I guess he's on Sci-Fi Channel's Dark Matter right now, if you watch that show.
I do not have the Sci-Fi Channel. Actually, yeah. I do not have cable. So.
He was also on 45 episodes of 24. He played Curtis Manning.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we'll be covering Swamp Thing for the next 2 weeks. With special guest star Michael Raven, Shadow of the Dead TV, Trick or Treat Radio will be joining us for those two episodes. But yeah, Swamp Thing makes a all too brief appearance in this movie. A lot of fans were hoping that he would have a bigger role.
Yeah, he basically just says, you know, I'm here because, you know, I hate John. which is typical. But Boston Brand, I thought it was kind of interesting because he has the power of possession. He's kind of a ghost. You know, no one can really see him except for Zatanna and Constantine. Batman doesn't see him. But he has the power of possession, so he can move into a body and, you know, use the body as he wants to in order to help solve crimes and help people and, you know, get vengeance on his own murder, that type of thing.
Yeah, Boston Brand has been not seen in any kind of media outside of animation, and as far as I'm aware, the first time he was ever animated was back on an episode of Justice League, the animated series, and then he was on a couple episodes of Batman the Brave and the Bold, and he's appeared on Justice League Action, which is the show we'll have like multiple rotating DC comic characters, including John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Zatanna. Basically, all the members of the Justice League Dark have appeared on this animated series, which is currently airing right now. I think they just wrapped season one. Season two is about to start. But he is one of the most popular supernatural kind of characters in the DC universe. if you ever want to read some good Dead Man stories, I recommend the original Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams stories from the 1970s. They are very indicative of great classic creature Tales from the Crypt gothic horror stories, very similar to The Spectre, which I had you read by Jim Aparo, which were basically like as horrific as a comic book for children could possibly get with what The Spectre did to his victims.
Still obeying the comic book law.
Yeah, still obeying the comic book law. But Deadman, totally recommend checking out whatever books you can find about him. A lot of fun. Been a member of the Justice League Dark through the many, many, many issues of the comic book. And this is based on a comic book that was launched as part of DC's New 52 when the New 52 happened back in 2011. This was one of those books.
The Justice League, at the very end, when the House of Mystery gets taken over by Richie and then they finally get control of the House of Mystery back, there's this moment at the very end where Boston Brand, Deadman, actually has this kind of exchange with Black Orchid, which is the name of the embodiment of the house, and he gets invited inside, and it's kind of like, hey, you're interesting. You're kind of like me, kind of corporeal, so, come on inside and let's have some time. I thought that was nice. And then Zatanna and Constantine's relationship is repaired a little bit. They trust each other a little bit more. Feelings are exchanged. I really liked this movie.
I did too. I do hope that they'll do something else with these characters. I don't exactly know how well it did enough to warrant a second film with the supernatural characters of the DC Universe. Collider.com wrote, Justice League Dark is a briskly paced, dark magical adventure that gives some of DC's most shadowy heroes a chance to shine, and a story that folds in mythology and mystery while never losing sight of what it means to be a hero. Cinema Craze praises the film for being a fun celebration of supernatural unknown elements in DC Comics.
But the one disappointing thing about this, which is my worry with all animated versions of a cult, is that none of the images, the symbology, I could trace to anything actually based in fact. So it was all just made up stuff for the show. Kind of disappointing.
But yeah, no, they. I don't think they did as much research as they did on the Constantine television series.
No. Just makes it a little bit more of a downer for me, because, I'm trying to look up all these symbols and the spells, and it turns out it's just mumbo-jumbo.
Mumbo-jumbo,
yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it for our coverage, the final episode of Constantine. We don't seem to be able to escape the DC Universe because in 2 weeks we're going to be recording two episodes of the Dead TV podcast talking about the 5 episodes of Swamp Thing, the animated series, as I said earlier, with Michael Ravenshadow of Trick or Treat Radio. So we're going to be still knee-deep in the DC lore. Even when we started this, we weren't escaping DC Comics because Stacey Keach, who was the Torridor leader on Kindred the Embraced, played Lana Lang on Superboy for 100 episodes.
It's all one just, pool of actors and actresses that they just kind of pull up when they feel like they need this particular type of voice, and we all know and love them, and so they all get used. And they stay busy.
They stay busy in the DC Universe, apparently. But when we get to Friday the 13th, we should have nothing to do with DC Comics. So
No. And we will be on Friday the 13th, the series, for a long time. 2 episodes per podcast.
Correct. And there will be, of course, guest stars in every single episode of Friday the 13th. It's that kind of show. So obviously we'll go into backstories of like, oh, and this actor went on to become, this stuff. Or they're dead. Or they kind of career ended after this. Who knows? Whatever. Because every episode there's the MacGuffin. And obviously there's somebody in possession of the MacGuffin that the cousins have to go find. But we'll talk more about that when we get to it in October.
And I'll be tracing back, you know, any sort of objects that had these types of qualities for throughout history or mythology. Hopefully there's going to be some good findings there.
Correct. If you want to watch this episode of Arrow that we discussed, it is in the Season 4 Arrow box set, or you can watch it on Netflix, where it is currently, as well as the Justice League Dark movie. You can find it on Video On Demand, on Amazon Prime, or you can buy the DVD or the Blu-ray, which are available now. And then there's the Justice League comic book series, which has been collected in trade paperback format through 6 volumes, through the 40-something plus issues that the comic book series ran for. And then Constantine, of course, appears currently in Constantine the Hellblazer comic book series, currently on the stands from DC Comics at your local comic book store. I recommend Bassett Entertainment in Worcester, Massachusetts, or maybe the Hall of Comic Books over in Southboro. What would you go to for comic books, Mr. Zeneca?
Well, you know, since I'm in Philly, I go to Atomic Comics right on South Street in Philadelphia.
Awesome.
Drag.
Awesome.
I also will go to JD's Hero Complex, which is a little bit further from me in Maniunk, but it's run by a great friend of mine, JD, so hey, go there for your comic needs.
And you can find us on our Facebook page, you can find us on our Facebook page, the Dead TV Podcast. We do not have a Twitter, as we both have individual Twitters, and this podcast is under the Radio of Horror banner, which you can find me at Chris D SAV on Twitter and at Mr. Zeneca at Elegantly Kinky. And don't forget, we are also on iTunes and Google Play, so please leave a review for us on iTunes. More reviews left, it kind of like pumps us up to iTunes's top of their recommendation page. Less
give
reviews, it's harder to find us. So leave us ratings if you listen to this on iTunes. I know not everybody has iTunes, so you don't have to worry about it. It is on RadioHorror.com for everyone to download and listen to. But if you do use iTunes, if you do have an Apple device, please leave a rating on iTunes when you listen to an episode. Nothing can help us more. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Swamp Thing, the animated series, episodes 1 and 2 on the Dead TV Podcast.
I'm headed back to Dragon Con.
And Mr. Seneca is... Wait, isn't Dragon Con over?
No, it's still going today and tomorrow. And,
oh,
you know,
damn.
So I spent time out of my day to do this.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, by the time this airs, Dragon Con will be over, but you can... Mr. Seneca will probably have Dragon Con pictures posted on her specific Facebook page.
Yes, I will be spreading news everywhere.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Thank you, Mr. Zeneca.
Thank you.